Hello and welcome to Super Respectable. My name is Toshio Rahman and with me is David Lewis. Hello, David Lewis.
Hello, Tosh. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. The summer has arrived here in the Netherlands, so that has improved everyone's mood. It's been pretty depressing for a number of reasons, but it's been summer for 3 days.
Nice. And how long is it expected to stay for?
One more day.
Oh, it's a 4 day summer. Okay.
Yeah. We get a really like a week allocation, 2 week allocation every year.
Yeah. I think it's the reverse here. I think summer has come and it's gone because it's been darker recently and colder, which I like, but I know some people don't like. But
it looks pretty bright in your living room there.
Yeah, it's it's
very colorful.
Do you like the interior design, the setup?
Well, so Tosh has the Simpsons backdrop on Zoom. The lampshade is a bit strange, I have to say. But other than that, it's fine.
Cool. When was the last time you watched an episode of The Simpsons, a full episode?
Well, I spent pretty much half of my life in the 1990s watching The Simpsons, so I think I used up my life quota.
But
I don't watch any of the new episodes, so that's not happening. But like.
It's like season three or something like that.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It is ridiculous that they keep going. But apparently people still watch it and they still have pretty good numbers. But I watched like a few of the newer episodes and it's just not funny anymore.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you get to like 100 like seasons of something, you start losing storylines and this. But I, like you, was also a kid of the 90s, Sundays on Fox, right? Or whatever it was, 8 o'clock, 8:30, whatever. And then I used to watch it too, but I thought it'd be a cool little intro.
But like it is, I realized how educational it was. Because most of the writers went to Harvard. You know, there's Conan O'Brien. They're all like super smart people. Mm-hmm. So then they had like layers of humor. So there was stuff for adults. Yeah. There was cultural, historical references, which I only understood after I like went to university or like read some more books and stuff.
Yeah.
And then like there's the usual stuff for kids of like people getting hurt or falling and like just general kind of violence.
I remember there was a big thing, like a big controversy growing up too, where people wanted kids not to watch The Simpsons because it was like you wouldn't be listening to authority and disobeying your parents and stuff like Bart, right? And like there was
that was like when it first came out. Bart was like this big rebellious kid and they like there's all this drama.
I mean,
all good. Yeah. Everything turned out okay, right? We're fine.
That's true. Everything turned out okay. But I remember that was there. And then others are like, I don't really watch a lot of television anymore. Even like, to be honest, I had a new baby, as you know, and as our listeners will have heard, like the motivation to watch anything on television is zero. And it's just to sleep and do basic life tasks. So
I guess like all those things like reading books and all those activities are out the window right now for the next
you try and squeeze them in from when the times that you have a little you time, a little me time. You know, I'm still doing my EMBA, so I got to study. I have an exam this week.
Oh my goodness.
So I try to do a little here and there. And you're also doing you're on break, right?
Yeah. We have one more assignment, which I'm struggling to find motivation for, especially in nice weather. So
yeah.
Then I'm on break.
Then you're on break. But yeah, that's great. Well, I hope you're able to get it done. Enjoy your summer. And
and then go off to Italy,
which is in September,
August for 2 weeks.
That's very cool. So that's Italy. You went to, when did you go to Italy last? You went last year, right?
Pretty much this time last year. No, it was September last year. And it was so fantastic that we extended the trip while we were there because there was basically no tourists.
Yeah.
In Rome and all the places that are typically overwhelmed. So it was just so cool to experience with.
Is that going to be the same thing this year? Yes. Or?
I think there'll be a few more people.
Yeah. Where are you going? Same places or different places?
No, this time we're going just to Venice.
Yeah.
And then a week at a nearby like beach town. It's for like a family gathering for Federica.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome. So by the end of your life, you'll pretty much have visited all of Italy. If you're like an Italian connoisseur, like you, you'll be writing the Lonely Planet guides for Italy.
I think I have been to most of the cities. I haven't been to like maybe two or three of the, like, Genoa. I don't know. Maybe some cities in Sicily. Other than that, Naples. I've been to Naples.
Oh, so, next time.
The big one. Big one to do.
Very cool. Shall we commence? Shall we get started?
Let's do it.
Okay. So I don't know if you knew this or not, but last week was National Geographic Shark Week. I don't know if you watched that or not.
Shark attacks.
Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
But I am fascinated with sharks. I'm scared of them. I've never actually seen a great white other than in an aquarium, I think. But I watch Shark Week. I think it's really interesting. What's your general point of view on sharks? Have you seen one in real life? Have you been part of a dangerous attack? Are you just a bystander?
Trying to think. No, I don't believe I've seen one in the wild. I've been in waters, I think, where there were sharks. So I was in Fiji, and that kind of freaked me out because I don't want to go on too much of a tangent already, but we were doing some snorkeling and stuff in this really beautiful water. And then we arrived in New Zealand a week later and opened up the newspaper, and it said, like, New Zealand tourist has, like, arm bitten off by shark. And it was, like, pretty much the same waters we were in.
Okay. That's good. I think sharks get a kind of a bad rap because of, like, these attacks. And hopefully I can kind of, like, go into more details about them. Because most sharks aren't really dangerous. There's only a few that are. And usually, like, there's just some really interesting facts about shark attacks that I'll go into. But I think there's like, a mystery with this species of animal that kind of puts fear into us. Because, like, in the movies, you always see the fin kind of coming out of the water. And then it's, like, you know, Jaws. And then people get...
Have you seen Jaws?
Of course, right? Like, I've seen it.
I've never seen it.
I've been... if you ever go to Universal Studios and you do the ride, like, the backlot ride, like, they show you where they film everything. Like, they have a whole place where they show you, like, where the Jaws is. And they have this automated, like, shark from 1980 come out of the water and take the boat down and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I've seen Jaws, and then, like, I've seen the whole thing. And so I also get freaked out in, like, certain warm climates, warm water places, like beach tropical places, because that's where I always thought sharks would be. But as I will speak, sharks actually can live in multiple climates. It's interesting. It's not normal climates. But but in Canada, I don't think we generally have sharks in our premises. Like, I don't think I've ever heard of sharks on the Pacific coast close to the water.
I don't think so. And East Coast, maybe some get lost and end up going too far north. But other than that, there are some off the coast of, like, the Eastern Seaboard, like the Carolinas, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, they start getting few and far between the further north you go.
What about in Mooney's Bay? Any sharks there?
Oh yeah, there's a few great whites. that's why people don't swim there. There's there's E. coli and the sharks are the big reasons.
I think E. coli won. I think they probably survived longer than the sharks. That's fun. So I thought, let me say some interesting facts I found out about sharks just generally, okay? Did you know, Dave, did there are over 500 species of sharks? And
that's a lot of species.
Different, a lot of species. And about 143 of them are under threat within the range of vulnerable to endangered. So that was an interesting thing.
Is that because of shark fin soup?
Shark fin soup is one of them. Plastics in the water is another of them. Fishing, general fishing of them is another one. I mean, you'd know a lot about this with kind of your background as well. Sharks are endangered in certain species of them. And then I think there's a huge movement within the wildlife movement to kind of protect more sharks and making sure we don't overfish them. But I remember the fin thing was a huge thing because I live in an Asian community here in Vancouver. And there was a huge movement to try to get people not to kill sharks for their fins for certain cultures and certain foods. So I mean, they are dwindling in numbers, but 500 was a big number. I didn't even know that many types of sharks existed. But interesting.
How many can you name?
Hammerhead.
Those are weird.
Those are funny, yeah? They're weird.
Those are the ones with the eyeballs pointing in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
The right direction for
the wrong direction. I read that the reason they have their head like that is so that they can pretty much, for predatory reasons, so that when they get their prey, they can pretty much hammer them against the ocean floor.
No, that's not true.
No?
Is it?
Yeah, that's what I read yesterday. I'm not even saying that.
So they really are hammering them with their head.
Well, I don't know if it's like an exact hammer the way we envision it, but the head is used to kind of like trap and catch prey. But yeah, great white is the one that everyone's scared of. And that's it. How many can you name? That's 490
yeah, left. You named about one more than I could.
A bluefin? No, is that? I don't know.
That's a tuna. It's a dolphin.
It's a dolphin. Okay.
Or tuna. Same thing.
It's a sea. Why? It's a sea mammal. There's a lot of them. Okay. Let's just say there's a lot of sharks. Yeah. A lot of sharks.
Leopard.
A leopard shark. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's cool. So sharks have several. Sharks are apex predators, which means they're number one. Right, mm-hmm. They're up there, and so because of that, they have several rows of teeth, and they can lose and replace their teeth thousands of times over a lifetime. Isn't that cool? So you know, sometimes
that's
in the
very cool.
You see them like, and then all these teeth, so they can come and go like thousands. I think us humans, we can lose our teeth just once, pretty much, right? Naturally, they fall out once, and then we grow them again, and then if they fall out again, then to the dentist you go. So sharks multiple times, very cool. That's why sometimes you'll see people with like shark teeth souvenirs, I guess, you know, or like necklaces or at like a gift shop or something. But
but their fins don't grow back.
Fins do not grow back. Yeah. So actually sharks live in most habitats. They found sharks in tropical places, in coral reefs, in the deep sea, and even the Arctic sea ice. So depending on the species of shark, different places around the world. I didn't know
So there's the Arctic shark?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it's called, the name of it, but they can survive in that climate. Because I used to think that I was always like hot water, like warm water was kind of the primary climate for sharks. Mm. But apparently, no, you can, depending on shark, you can go in different places. But I don't think you'd find like a great white in the Arctic. That'd be like some weird like movie or something, like end of the world movie, you know? But
it's still free. I mean, yeah, like you said, I think most people imagine sharks in warm waters and... Yeah. It's already kind of freaky, I think, in the Arctic, the waters. It's just like so dark and mysterious, cold. And then there's a shark there.
There's a shark hanging around. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think the Arctic and the Antarctic are very mysterious and like places I would like to see, but I wouldn't want to like go in the waters. And so, have you seen those crazy people who like jump into the waters for deep diving in the Arctic, or try to go under ice and see how far they can go? Like,
oh, no.
It's scary, man. I don't know. Okay, number four. This is where cool. Some the anatomy of sharks are pretty cool. Sharks have a sixth sense that helps them hone in on prey during the final phase of attack. They call it the amupalae lorenza, and it's found under the shark's snout. And what it is it can sense the electrical fields emitted by animals in the surrounding water. So you know, in the movies and in TV shows and in just general discourse, we always talk about sharks being really good predators. And the reason for this is that they have these like little extra little things in their biology, in the physiology, I'm sorry, that allow them to kind of like find their prey and be very, very slow and then just attack, right? Because I think the general one that we always hear is that sharks are attracted to blood, right?
Yeah, so, blood in the water.
Blood in the water. So that's true. But then sharks can also kind of like sense the field, the electricity from other animals, like distance, like wavelengths. They're like really good predators in that sense. So it's very cool. Sharks have been around for 400 million years, long before dinosaurs. And because their skeletons are actually made of cartilage.
So before humans, hey?
Before humans. Because their skeletons are actually made of cartilage, which is like similar to our nose, instead of bone, they actually don't leave fossils like other animals. But fossilized shark teeth have been found. So it's very cool. You never find a fossil of a shark, but you can find fossils of their teeth.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, right? Very cool. Yeah. All right. So now that we have a general kind of understanding of sharks, let's get into the attacks, like the cool stuff.
Yes. Yes, please.
So when I was doing my research, and generally I kind of knew this, is that like people, generally human beings have this huge fear of sharks. It's like across the board. But some of the numbers we talk about are sort of inflated. It doesn't happen as often as you think. And when it does happen, it's pretty common in where the areas are. So it can kind of be, if you really did the statistics and the mathematics, you can kind of figure out exactly what was going to happen. I mean, you couldn't tell exactly when, but you could tell where. But so here's some interesting things. In 2008, speaking of the Arctic, a polar bear's jaw was found inside a Greenland shark's stomach. So that means some type of a shark from in the Scandinavian parts of the world ate a polar bear. Isn't that cool? And his jaw was in his stomach.
Wow.
Yeah. So
nature.
So either this polar bear fell in the water and couldn't survive, which is weird because polar bears can swim, or the shark decided to go up above water.
I don't think it was the shark went above.
Walked on the
maybe,
ice.
Maybe.
But yeah, that's cool. Okay, so most shark attacks actually occur less than 100 feet from the mainland, and they happen in very popular beaches in North America, especially Florida and Hawaii, and then also outside North America, Australia and South Africa. So did you know that?
Africa, yeah, I know about, yeah, the ones I think of are mostly Australia and South Africa. I know Australia just has so many things that can kill you, and sharks being the main thing.
Yeah, in America, I knew about Hawaii. I didn't know about Florida, but Florida's warm water in the south, southeast. So yeah, so if you're on the coast of Florida, the coast of Hawaii, you should be careful. Australia, I also heard everything Australia kills you, right? So like you gotta be
careful. Australians.
But only 100 feet from the shore. That's interesting, huh? That most attacks happen. I guess that's how far humans probably go, right?
Well, that's super sketchy. Oh, so you're talking strictly about attacks on humans.
On humans, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, so it's like the surfers got to be careful because there's good surfing in Australia and South Africa. It's probably the surfers who get it mostly.
That's a very good link because here you go. And this is kind of an outdated study, I'm sorry, but in 2010, I found that 51% of attacks were on surfers, 38% were on swimmers, and 8% were on snorkelers and divers. So these are people who are like actively doing water sports, and so they're not asking for it, but like they're not the ones who are like out of the water. They're in the water, in the arena of the attack. So surfers, because surfers, I guess, go further out, right? Because they try to catch waves. And so they go further out
and they kind of dangle appendages in the water, their hands and the feet.
That's true.
The sharks get a bit excited by that.
Yeah. Here's a little revenge. For every human killed by a shark attack, humans kill approximately 2 million sharks.
That's horrendous.
Yeah. And that's sad. That's like, that's kind of devastating to the ecosystem. Only, do you know how many people a year on average die from shark attacks?
100, I think.
Significantly under 100.
Okay, I'm going to say 20.
On average, 5 people a year die from shark attacks.
5.
Yeah. So I think
an unfounded fear, eh?
Unfounded fear. But I think it's been inflated in media, and then when it happens, people get scared. But
I think it's just the impact. It'd be just horrible to be attacked by a shark.
It would be. It's very interesting. Most people survive shark attacks. I don't know. I forgot the statistic. I was reading it yesterday. Not many people actually die from it. Of course, you can be mutilated and hurt, but it's very rare. Like, just to put it in perspective, 17,000 people die from just falling each year. So there's a 1 in 218 chance in your lifetime that you'll fall and die, whereas your chances of being eaten by a shark are 1 in 3.7 million. So it's very rare that it happens. And when it does, it's not devastating, but like I said, we know that if you're in these four beaches or these four countries by the water, and if you're within 100 feet that like you might, and you're a swimmer, a surfer or a diver, you might be more prone to it. But for example, in since 1907, so over the last 100 years, they did a study and they found that 201 out of 220 great white shark attacks occurred when the human was less than 6 feet from the surface. So they weren't like significantly deep underwater people. They were pretty much near the surface, which would be indicative of a surfer, like you said, right? You're on your paddle board and making noise and stuff. So the scary part of that is that these sharks come that high up. They can come up to you. So like, it's pretty creepy, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
So there's actually a shark capital of the world. It's called New Smyrna Beach in Florida. So according to ISAF, which is kind of like the World Sailing Association, it's the shark capital of the world. It's estimated that anyone who swam there has been within 10 feet of a shark.
Oh, no.
So that means even if you didn't get attacked, you were close to a shark. Can you imagine being on a paddleboard and just something going by your feet? That's like just, it's scary, man.
No, I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm not really into putting myself into dangerous situations and scenarios. And like, if I knew that there was reports of a shark or that sharks did this, I'd be like, I'm out.
Florida's pretty bad for things that can kill you, right? They've got crocodiles or alligators in the waters, along with sharks.
Sharks, humidity, old age,
Floridians.
early dinners, early bird specials. Yeah, Florida's similar. Florida's like the Australia of America. I think they have a lot of like, it's the climate, right? It has to be humidity and the heat. That's where everything, all the bad animals survive. All those things that completely survive.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, we went on a holiday to Florida, and there was a golf course at the resort we were staying out, and there was a sign everywhere saying, if you lose your ball in like the water or in the rough, like don't go get it because there could be like a crocodile that'll bite your hand off.
Isn't it funny that like, sometimes in some of these golf courses or whatever, crocodiles are just walking across like the eighth hole or whatever, you know? Oh,
Yeah.
croc, that's insane. If I saw a crocodile in my backyard, I'd freak out, you know?
I guess they might have higher rates of attacks on
On humans.
humans and dead deaths. They sound more vicious.
Oh my gosh, I went to this crocodile farm in like third world
Did
country
you?
once, and it was, I probably wouldn't go back because I just safety measures were really like you're walking over bridges that looked like it could fall, and there were
Oh
literally
no.
hundreds of crocodiles on the ground. And I don't know if you've ever seen a crocodile in real life, but they're super patient creatures. Like they don't move a lot. They'll like wait for their prey, and like it's scary, man. Like it is super, super scary.
They're dinosaurs. They're basically dinosaurs.
They're basically modern day dinosaurs. And have you ever seen
Yeah.
like, you know, these morons who like who ride their canoe or kayak in the Amazon or whatever just for like for thrills, and then a crocodile comes out of nowhere and like bites it off or whatever? These things are
Yeah.
scary, man. I
So there's like they dangle their fingers in the water.
do you Yeah. And they're like, these crocodiles can be huge. They're like what, 10, 12, 13 feet, like a couple hundred pounds, very strong. And they're like, if you ever watch the YouTube videos, these things might be a little like passive at the beginning. But once they get you, they are gonna like finish the job until like.
They just lock on to you and you're stuck.
Who do you think would win, a crocodile or a shark, you know, in an attack?
Oh, I think a crocodile.
Yeah, I mean, crocodiles have the advantage of like being like a land and sea creature, water creatures, so they can they have both. They might sharks. I think like if you got a great white in its peak, it might be bigger than the crocodile. But I think the crocodile.
I think the crocodile's jaw is just too strong, and they're actually pretty fast once they get going. So it'd be an interesting fight. Maybe there's some sort of simulation that's been played out on YouTube that you could watch.
Yeah, that's I some people keep them as animals, and I don't think we should be keeping wild exotic animals as home pets. Because crocodiles are scary. And the other one, just and we're on a little tangent, but related, is people who keep snakes and reptiles as animals. That's a big no-no for me as well. And in Florida, that seems to be a big thing as well. People are always keeping
Yeah.
snakes in their houses. I read a report. This is so funny. I read an article the other day just because I needed a laugh of this old guy. He went to the washroom and he went to the toilet and he felt a bite.
Yes. Yes. I saw that. It was in Austria.
In Austria, I'm sorry, I thought it was Florida. And he turned around and his neighbor's snake had gone through the escape
Yeah.
through the piping and up his
That's
toilet.
exactly why you shouldn't have that those in people's houses.
I have you ever had friends who've had snakes, or you've known people who had snakes in their house?
I don't remember. I do remember seeing some in people's houses. I don't remember who, but I just thought these things will find a way out. They'll like get out at some point.
I think I'm not a big fan of snakes personally, but I think they're very smart creatures. I think just like the alligator, they're probably sitting there just kind of like thinking and figuring it out. Because my theory is that no animal wants to be in captivity. Like, who wants to be trapped?
Yeah.
But these things are going to find a way out. I don't know if you remember this story or not, but this was like 10, 15 years ago. There was a guy who kept like a huge python or anaconda or some massive snake. I'm sorry, I don't know my snakes, in Halifax. Do you remember this one?
Vaguely.
Yeah. And it got out and it got down to the second floor and ate one of the kids, like on one of the
No.
kids. And yeah, I don't know if it's Halifax, but it was somewhere in Canada. And like then they had to come and like of course kill the snake and like you know kids were dead and this and that, because some of these snakes like the jaws open, don't they? Like they can swallow things whole.
Yeah, they can put it, like eat things that you don't think would fit in there, but they find a way.
Yeah, I know, like if you're in Australia, we're bashing Australia today, but like if we're in Australia, people always talk about having snakes and spiders in their backyard or in their beds and this and that. And so I live in Vancouver. We don't have snakes here, thank God. We have spiders, but that's okay. How's it in the Netherlands? Are you guys?
No, I'm more scared of spiders than I am of snakes.
Really?
People who are like deathly afraid of snakes, but they don't bother me as much as spiders.
I don't like either. I've seen. Have you ever seen? Have you ever found like a nasty spider in your house, like a thick one or a gross one or a big one?
No, I try to live in countries that don't have big spiders.
that's
why I choose a country like other big spiders. So I'm not going to be here.
Requirement number one. I think we're pretty good in small cultures. I've had in Vancouver, we don't have big ones, but I've had situations where I felt something at night. I felt something crawling on my arm, and I've opened the blanket, and like it's been a little spider, and that feeling is kind of gross, like you know, that little prickly feeling. But if I found a snake in my house, man, or a crocodile, or a shark, game over.
Well, like, what do you think of the concept of, you know, there's a lot of people, like you said, who think that they can have these things as pets, like these random, like, exotic animals. And some of them are convinced that, you know, they're friends, you know, they pet them and hold them and hug them and whatever. But, like, there's that tiger king dude.
Yeah.
And he was kind of an example of that. But eventually these things will, like, snap and turn on them and, like, you know, go back to the wild animals that they were.
I even have a theory that the animals that are traditional that we do keep, cats, dogs, animals, pets, I bet you they have a little bit of resistance, but to a smaller degree because they've been domesticated over the millennia. But like even my cat, like when he's finding a way to open this door so he can run away and like explore the world and then come.
But cats never want to be pets. Cats are like the least domesticated thing.
I think dogs are probably like the most loyal of all pets.
Yeah.
They're pretty cute. But yeah, man, I don't think lions should be pets. I don't think snakes should be pets. These are like crazy animals, like the ones you see on like YouTube when like they release them and they come and they hug them. Those are rare exceptions. Like most animals will just kill you. Like that's like a lion is going to be like 1,000 pounds, you know, or 500 pounds or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's huge. These things.
And there's one. I think it was also in Canada. A guy who like made friends with a grizzly bear or something, and he had this whole outfit. You know, made up like hockey equipment and stuff where he could like wrestle the thing. And then he eventually got so comfortable that I think he like one day took it off and the bear just like took him down. Yeah, he's done.
Because these, they're not like us. Like animals don't have intellect like humans do. Like they don't understand like this guy's innocent or this guy's harmed. Like their natural reaction is just to eat and sleep and survive. Right. And so, like, if you ever see a grizzly bear, man, like, what do they say? Play dead? Is that the.
I don't remember. I think
don't run.
I think you're not supposed to turn your back to it.
Yeah,
like you're just like walk back like this slowly.
Yeah,
because I don't know. I was told when I was young, go into a ball.
And, oh yeah,
go into a rock and do nothing. But I think I would just run as fast as I could.
I don't think you're supposed to do that, man. I think you can outrun. You can also climb trees and stuff. I think.
But I would rather go
take like, a chance.
If imagine dying like this, where you're in a ball and then
crying. You.
I'd rather die like having tried to run away from the thing.
Yeah, I mean, another scenario.
They can climb trees too, right?
Yeah, it can climb trees. That's why I don't go for hikes. I don't go into the forest, man. I don't go into places that I shouldn't go. I stay on the cities. I stay in my car.
Netherlands is great. I mean, the whole country should be underwater, right? So there's not much natural wildlife here, really. There's barely any squirrels. I don't think there's many snakes, no wolves, no bears.
Yeah. I think we could both agree. Let's sustain our naturally man-made environments and not go, let's not go into other people's spaces and, you know, give people into. Yeah, it's interesting. Look, I got a quick story for you in terms of shark attacks. So this is considered the world's worst shark attack in the history of humanity. And it's got a little bit of World War II history in it, which I know you're interested in. I'm interested in war history. I wish I took more history classes in school. I know that was your minor, wasn't it?
I wish it was my major.
So interesting.
Yeah.
That there's reading books all day instead of doing all this other garbage that I have to do. But it is what it is. It's okay. Okay. So do you know about the USS Indianapolis?
Nope.
Okay, so the USS Indianapolis is this huge kind of like a boat, part of the military fleet. It actually delivered one of the most crucial components of the atomic bomb that went off in Hiroshima. So it delivered this part of the bomb to a Navy base in the Pacific island of Tinian. And then in August 6th, the bomb was used in Hiroshima. So it kind of transported a part of the bomb. So that's its significance. So on, earlier, like about a week before the bomb went off, a couple days before, it delivers this part of the bomb, and then it leaves on July 28th for Guam. So it has no escort at all. And it's supposed to meet the next day with another battleship, the USS Idaho. These names need to be more interesting. Ugh, they're all just places in America.
Yeah, pretty lame.
So it's supposed to meet the next day with another ship in the Philippines and get ready for the invasion in Japan, right? So the next day, the day of the sailing is very quiet for the USS Indianapolis. They're doing 17 knots through swells. I don't know what any of that means. 70 knots is like, I'm assuming 17 kilometers an hour or something.
It's pretty fast, no?
Okay. What's a knot? Like, is that that's a measurement of speed in the water, right?
Yeah, like how fast can you tie a knot is a measurement of, I don't know.
How fast can you tie your shoes in the water?
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't know. What are the company's measurements? They should be more consistent.
Yeah, that's another thing. I wish I knew more about water stuff too, like sailing and like boats and like
what's starboard and
port is left, I think, is because port has four letters and left has four letters. That's how I remembered it. Starboard. Oh, wow. Whatever. Okay, anyway. We can say it was doing good, it was making good time. Okay, that's pretty much what I was trying to say. It's like making good time. The Pacific is endless. They were saying that everyone was having a good time on board. The sailors were playing cards, reading books, some were talking with the ship's priest, you know. But then suddenly out of nowhere, after midnight, Japanese torpedo hits the Indianapolis on the starboard. So it blows the ship into two and it ignites the almost 350 gallons of aviation fluid. So it's on the water, right? Boom. So then another torpedo comes out of nowhere and hits the ship again, right? And so it sets off a chain reaction of explosions that are just like. So now you have two parts of the ship and this ship is still traveling at 17 knots. So because of that, it's taking in a lot of water, right? So in 12 minutes, the ship sinks because of these two torpedoes in the water. So so immediately of the about 1,200 people on board, 900 make it alive, right? 200 people have died from the explosions. So on the next day, the 30th of July, the sun starts rising and there are dead bodies in the water that are bobbling. Some life rafts are there, but as the story is always, there's not enough rafts, you know, for the people, which should be a general practice, I think, for all boats from now on.
It seems to be a common problem, yeah.
It's weird. Like Titanic? Oh, my gosh. Anyways, so so the living people who are trying to find the dead bodies, you know, trying to get the life jackets off them. Some don't have life jackets. They're trying to form groups in the water to stay warm and stay with one another. Some are small. Some have over 300 people. But remember, this is open water. So eventually what happens is sharks start to come. This is like primary breeding grounds for sharks. So they say that the sharks were drawn by the sound of the explosions over the night, plus the sinking of the ships and the thrashing and blood in the water of the people. So though there are many different types of sharks that live in open water, none is considered as aggressive as the oceanic white tip. So this is what type of shark was. So reports from people who have actually survived the USS Indianapolis attacks say that the sharks tended to attack live victims close to the surface. So this goes back to what we talked about, 6 feet from the ground, from the surface. So what happens is that first night, that they're there, the sharks try to go for the floating dead, right? People start freaking out. People start struggling, the survivors. The more they struggle, the more they attract sharks, right? Sharks have the noise and the sensories. They also have this, so this is another interesting thing. Sharks have this feature called a lateral line. It's a receptor in their body that can pick up pressure, changes in pressure near them. It's kind of actually very cool to be an apex predator to do that. So they can know when there's motion and pressure around their area, especially since water moves, right? Water has an echoing effect. So they can pick this up from hundreds of yards away. So while these people are struggling, these sharks are circling, they can feel them, they know they're there. So once they finish with the floating dead, this is like a horrible nightmare. Once they finish with the dead, they start attacking the surviving. So first they go for the injured and the bleeding.
They're strategic.
Very strategic. They had a meeting. They're like, hey, this is our thing. So once they start going for the injured, the ones who are healthy, the sailors, they're like, listen, man, I can't be next to you because if you're going to be a target, then I'm guilty by association. So then they kind of like push them away, hoping that like they could sacrifice them instead of the living. which is sad, but I understand. You know, you're trying to use your survival instinct. So many survivors are paralyzed with fear. They can't eat. They can't sleep. Some of them are one. There's a funny story about why a group of them opened a can of Spam. And but before they could even taste it, the sharks smelt it. Right. And so then they're like, OK, no, we don't need this. And they chuck the Spam out away. So the sharks kind of kept attacking for days because nobody was coming to rescue them. Remember, they were supposed to meet another ship and they didn't. So eventually another boat came. But for a while, it was nobody. The survivors, they realized that the best chance of survival was if we were in groups. And do you know in a group who the most secure person would have been? What's your best guess?
If you made a person in the middle?
Exactly. So if you made a circle, the one in the middle would have been like the safest, quote unquote. So I'm assuming that they would probably alternate being in the middle, which is
horrible. Yeah, I wonder how they figured that out.
The guys on the margins are the worst because they're the most susceptible to the sharks. So you want to be in the middle. So more days pass. Nobody's coming. Some people are dying because of heat and thirst. Others are suffering from hallucination, which you get from drinking seawater. It's salty water. Remember, never drink salt water, people. You can get salt poisoning. Have you ever been in an ocean where you like went in and you tasted the water? It's so salty.
Oh, yeah. So salty.
So some people are dying because of that. Others are foaming from the mouth because they drank salt water. But the biggest threat are these sharks, and these sharks are like nonstop, man. Like they're taking turns, they're circling, they're eating, they're doing their thing. Finally, a Navy plane goes above. He sees the people asking for help. He sees the sharks. So another ship comes and rescues them from the water. So unfortunately, out of 1,200 people, 200 died from the initial attack, and 500 died from shark attacks.
500.
Plus like starvation and this and that, but only 317 people remained. The numbers. So 317 remained, about 350 died from starvation, and 150 died from shark attacks. But it's impossible to be sure, but that's still a lot of people who died from
shark attacks. Those sharks must have been so fat after that.
Yeah. Oh, buffet style, man. That's crazy, huh?
That's horrible.
That's my biggest fear is like when I take a boat, like a cruise or anything, I always feel like if you're going to drown or hit something in like the Titanic episode we did in the middle of the ocean, there's so many other factors that could come to you, right?
I just don't like the fact that, I mean, I've been in places where there's no known sharks and even a lake where it's super deep.
Yeah.
I hate knowing what's going on down there.
Yeah.
I
used to have this fear. So my mom never let us play hockey, which is the one thing I wanted to play when growing up, being a good Canadian boy. But she put us in swimming, so like we are like good swimmers, very comfortable.
Oh, that's good. Good skill.
Thank you. Only pool, not ocean. Ocean I can do a little bit, but I don't really go into the ocean. But I used to have this fear that what if you're in those like sometimes you're in those massive pools, and what if there's something in there with you? You know, like that would always freak me out a little bit too. But you're kind of in like other people's territories. You know what I mean? When you're in an ocean, because we're a human and we just learn to be in there, but other animals, like that's their natural habitat. Like they know what to do. They can breathe in water, man. So like, it's scary.
It'd be cool if we could, like humans could somehow combine all these super cool skills that different animals have. Like dogs can hear so much more than we can and smell and whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't want to have those that much smell. I don't know. Sometimes you just want to be like, what were you got?
Yeah.
Or like to have the sharks kind of sonar radar thing.
Which, if you could choose any animal in the world and have their skill, which one would you choose? And what skill would you take? Oh, you screw the animal. Just tell me the skill. I don't, like, what do you want?
I don't know. That's a good question. I kind of like the ones who can just jump from trees, monkeys and sloths, where they just kind of climb and chill out and do their thing.
Yeah.
That's too close to humans, right? So I got to be a bit more diverse.
That's like Tarzanish, right?
Yeah. I don't know. What about you?
Probably wings, so I could fly, or some form of flying. If that's a skill I could get, but that would mean I'd have to change my physiology. Like I'd like to fly. Pretty much would be the cool thing, because it's a toss up between flying and breathing underwater. But breathing underwater really is not that. I think I get old pretty soon, because like where am I going? What am I doing? But flying, I could travel and I could walk around.
Yeah, sure. I'll take flying too. I'll steal yours.
It's like if you had a superhero, what kind of thing would it be? Yeah, I think I am. Are you like a big National Geographic, Earth, like document? Do you watch these like series about the planet?
Yeah, I was pretty big into the David Attenborough
Yeah,
stuff from
he's good.
BBC. I like his voice, and they find really cool stuff. Like, I don't know which one it was, but he managed to film like these two giraffes fighting, and I never knew that giraffes did that. I thought they were these peaceful things that just ate tree branches and grass. Did you see that?
I haven't seen it, but I'm gonna Google it right after our podcast. I wanna watch.
Watch it. They fling their necks at each other, and they like use their necks as weapons.
Have you ever
Yeah.
done have you ever seen giraffes in real life? Have you ever done a safari or anything?
I've seen one in America, and they licked food out of my hand, and that was really weird.
Giraffes are herbivores or carnivore? Herbivores, right?
They're herbivores, but just like watch that fight scene, and you think, well, these vegetarians aren't as peaceful as you think, eh?
Friendly, yeah, that's crazy. I definitely have like an appreciation for nature, and I'd love my children to kind of like be in it and learn about animals. I think my biggest one of the biggest mistakes I had was not having animals growing up too often, because I got them like later in life, like cats and stuff, and I find that it helps a lot just generally with like your empathy and just caring and getting to know animals and stuff. But like I'm a observer, not a participant in like touching lions or sleeping with jaguars or like, you know what I mean? I don't want to do any of that stuff, but I don't mind watching it from a distance or on TV. I once went to Las Vegas, and I went to the MGM.
Hey, it's Las Vegas.
We should do an episode on that serious situation. I
No, you went there. Okay.
went with my mom, so it wasn't as exciting, but I went to the MGM Grand, and they had lions in a cage, like in a big glass in encampment. And there was guys sleeping in there with the lions, like their trainers and stuff like that. And they were just sleeping, and like these lions were just walking around them, and like that's stupid, I think. Like,
It's changed a lot though. I think like in the last decade, it's really become like no-no to have like animals in the circus, because there's Cirque du Soleil, the very wonderful Canadian circus, which is just human circus, because like there's all these terrible stories of how the bears and the lions are treated, and it's horrible, right? They're just taken out of their natural habitat and made to like entertain humans. So
it's crazy. I went to a circus in Budapest with my dad and my parents, and like in the in you know in circus, have you know when they like try to call you down, a stupid clown who doesn't speak, who mimes, is like, oh, he picks you and he brings you down. So he picked my dad, and my dad's all for it, and he brought him down, and I forgot what animal it was, but this he they had this animal, like he had my dad was on the ground in front of everyone. How embarrassing. In front of everyone. And they had this animal like go above him, like step above him. And people were like, oh, like an elephant or something like that, right? Something that was like I wouldn't have done. And then they were like, oh, you can open your eyes. And when he opened it, they like squirted water onto his eyes or something like that. It was like a joke. But I remember thinking, like, if this goes wrong, we're fucked. Like, we are screwed. Like, he's so like I get you, man. Like, I don't think we should be taking risks with things that we don't know. And like, even if we know it, like, why take the risk?
Why would you do that? Yeah.
Like, I think dogs and cats and birds are pretty much the extent of domesticated animals we should keep. Other ones we can explore. I'm totally for studying things. I think that's interesting. Like, just to like know about the world and how we can live coexistently. But like, some of these things are crazy, man. You hear about people like befriending gorillas and like lion Christian the lion coming back in the forest. Isn't it crazy? Like sometimes you release these animals and you come back like 5 years later, you're like, I wonder if they'll remember me. And that to me, that's just like this domesticated animal's now been like put in the wild. Who knows if he's gonna remember you or not? Like he's a wild animal now, you know? Like it's not
I wonder
like
how well they do, if it, like how they like when they release these animals back to the wild, whether they're just confused and like get beaten up by their wild friends.
they're like, excuse me, do you have a fork and knife so I can eat this?
Yeah, they just like, where's my service?
I think I would. That's really interesting. I would think I would say that there's probably a huge amount of transition time because they don't know, man. They grew up in like very privileged, like upper class, like zoo where everything's fed, no hunting, this and that. And then suddenly they go out and all these other like animals are making fun of them, and then they have to learn to adapt. But like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not like
Yeah.
actively going towards these animals, but it's nice to see one. Like if you're ever like outside and you see like a beautiful. Like if you sometimes whales come into the harbor here and like they put it on the news and it's like, ooh, the Free Willy style. And like, you know, But like swimming with them, touching them, playing with them, I'm out. I don't want to do any of
that. But even stuff. That freaks me out. Like you're in the West Coast, so I did this once, whale watching, but some people go on kayaks.
Yeah.
And that freaks me out because these things are huge. And like they don't really, they're pretty friendly animals, I think. But
why take the risk, right?
But they're like nothing. You're nothing to them. They might just like come up and you get capsized, and then I would just be kind of freaked out with these things or swimming around.
I think one thing we touched upon indirectly is that like some of these animals, the size in relation to humans is crazy, right? Like even if you took like the average human man, which is like 6 feet or 10 feet or whatever, not 10 feet, 6 feet or 5'10",
yeah.
a whale can be like hundreds, not hundreds of feet, but it can be huge. It can be like 20 men or whatever it is in terms of like size.
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
Like, you know, a shark, as we talked about, can be up to 12 meters long. Like that's crazy, man. Like, you know, that's insane. So that's like, it's nothing for him to like attack you. And if you talk, that's only in terms of length. If you talk in terms of weight and actual size, like you're nothing to these animals, right? They can kill you with just like a flick of a thing. So like, take that into perspective. You know what I mean? Like,
so what's the best way to, I heard that if you're under threat from a shark, you're supposed to like hit it in the nose or like punch it in the nose if that's possible.
I didn't know. Okay, here we go. This one's okay. Okay, so here you go. It says, what to do if a shark attacks you? Sharks typically attempt to circle behind you to take a bite, so they will feel less comfortable if you keep an eye on them. That's stupid. Make eye contact, okay, Dave, when you're in the water. Don't panic. Make eye contact. Keep calm and slowly back away. If none of the above options are viable, you should fight back and focus your attacks on the shark's eyes and gills because of the area's sensitivity. Okay, so this is there's a real like a cultural aspect to it. Like, stay calm, move back, give him a space.
Move back in the water. I mean,
in the water,
move back. Like,
make him feel comfortable. Ask him if he wants anything, and if it doesn't work,
you want some water? But so it's not the nose, it's the eyes and gills. Okay.
Eyes and gills. But like when you panic, how many people can, even me included, can think calmly and strategically? Like if a shark who's 12 meters big is coming towards you, are you going to be like, okay, let me poke him in the eyes? His eye is going to be like this big. You know what I mean? So like, it's crazy.
They have those things in Australia and I'm sure other places, but it's what I see most is, they, you know, largely take tourists out in these shark excursions and they can put them in these big cages and they just drop the thing down. Stupid. And you're supposed to be like, you're going into like some pretty rough shark territory. And there's been cases where like the shark has managed to like
get through
or they didn't lock the thing properly. And then it's a nice snack for them. But it's just something I'm like, why would you do that? Just leave it alone. You know, watch some videos online and leave nature alone. Nature will do bad things to you.
Watch it in your bathtub so you feel like you're in the ocean, right? And then have a laptop screen or something. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'd like to see a great white once though in my life. I think that'd be kind of cool. Like in the wild, like from a safe distance and like, not in a cage. But like from a boat, like a yacht, a super yacht, a mega yacht, a cruise
line. I saw a thing because Cape Town in South Africa, it's like shark infested waters, but it's also very good like
surfing,
tourist attraction, surfing and all that. So it's hard to combine those two. And so the authorities, they do like a really concerted effort to like buzz around and do these techniques to try and like identify where the sharks are and like, I don't know how they lure them into different directions, like throw some X-Con into the water or something and give them a snack.
Maybe there's a correlation between like good surfing waters and sharks. Like I know they exist there, but like anywhere in the world where you good surfing, there's going to be that risk of sharks or something, right? So
yeah. So again, we have the North Sea here, some surfing. It's not the best waves, but it's something. And the biggest threat is like jellyfish.
Or jellyfish. And if a jellyfish stings you, you pee on it, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know if someone just put that in there just as a joke and it became true or a myth. Apparently, it doesn't do too much. But I
love seeing when I go to the aquarium and you see the jellyfish and the lights and the colors that come off of them. It's so cool. Mm. I think they move really cool. And like, I really enjoy watching the jellyfish. I actually haven't been to the aquarium in years and years and years. Maybe I'll go soon with the baby.
Well, my favorite attraction in Vancouver, as you know, is the salmon hatchery, where
There's
it's
something.
near the Capilano Suspension Bridge, I think.
Yeah, I could take you next time.
And I love that spot. You
I
just get to
think
go watch swim a fish swim upstream.
before I went with you, I think I've only gone once before, and that was like when I was in grade four for school or something.
I'm easily amused.
It was you, and then when we were 22 years old, we went again. But yeah, we will do that. Anyways, I hope it was interesting. Like, I just thought Shark Week, shark stuff, shark. It happens once a year. People are interested and fascinated. I think it's a whole world. Like, if I always talk about if I could go back in life, I could study this and stuff. Marine biology was very fascinating stuff, and so I can understand why people want to do it. But people, please be responsible and don't swim with the sharks or be close to the sharks or give the
Or
shark
have the soup.
or have the shark soup or just be involved with sharks. Just watch them from afar. Let them be them. And
Leave them alone. Yeah.
do you think I didn't come across this in my research. I didn't look, but how do you think sharks sleep? They just like float there, you think? How do most fish and stuff sleep?
There's a lot of things I don't know about the world, and that's one of them.
Sleep. Yeah.
Yeah, I had goldfish. But I wasn't very good about keeping them alive, so I thought, oh no, they're dead, and so they're probably asleep. And I would throw them in the toilet, and they would start swimming again. And I was like, oh, it's too late, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah, that's how. What about like animals? Have some animals, like giraffes and stuff, do they sleep standing up or do they sit down? You don't know.
Oh, there's so much we have to. I think we'll do an episode on like basic questions we have about animals and the world, and we'll just answer all these things.
We should find like a zoologist or someone who can come out and answer our stupid questions we have about animals.
Yeah, my network for zoology is pretty weak, so I have to think of someone.
Yeah, we'll find someone. Anyways, that's
Well,
it.
thank you, Tosh. That was very entertaining.
You're welcome. Thanks for participating. What will you be doing for the rest of your Wednesday, July 21st?
I will be cooking dinner. Federica's sisters are visiting, so I'm in charge of cooking today.
Nice. Well, I will leave you
There we
to
go.
it. Enjoy, and thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you, listeners.
Au revoir.
Bye.